breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers of Madani Channel to another transmission of our series titled The Light of Knowledge. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again we are honored to present another discussion and topic to the viewers of Madani Channel in relation to a very important and sensitive topic in today's day and age. Now, this is such a topic which is very difficult to speak about, and it also requires sensitivity. It requires emotional intelligence. It requires us to be well-versed in people's scenarios as well. Yes, my dear viewers, today's topic is in relation to patience in Islam. Any sabr ke hawale se. And today, inshallah, Azza wa Jal will be looking at various aspects within the Quran and the Hadith, the statements of our pious predecessors, what we can learn and derive. And then I would more like to focus on the different dimensions to patience. Because today when we look at the word patience, the first thing that may come to our mind is that if a calamity, if a musibat afflicts us, then Islam tells us to be patient. But what does it truly mean to be patient? What does that term mean? And how does Islam guide us throughout our life, not just in moments of happiness, but also in times of difficulty? How should the Muslim behave? How should his character be when he's going through a hard time? So inshallah, Azawajal, dear viewers of Madani Channel, stay tuned. We'll be discussing these points and much more. I would like to start off today's program by mentioning a virtue of reciting Durood-e Pak. Our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, "Man salla alayya fi yawmin khamseena marratan, safahtuhu yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever sends salat upon me 50 times daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, recite Durood-e Pak in abundance, because this is that tool and this is that blessed action that will help us through our times of difficulty. Because when we remember the beloved, insha'Allah azza wa jal, our difficulties, our problems will be eased for us. Because when we remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will also remember the difficulties that he faced. And as ummatis, as followers of this great personality, how should we behave? And inshallah, my dear viewers, today we're really going to go into detail. We have quite some time with us, inshallah, so do stay tuned. And we're going to focus on the different dimensions, the different types, you can say, of patience as well. So inshallah, now we would like to request our Madani Channel team if we can have a kalam to start our program with, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla. Soon after the kalam, we will begin the discussion on our topic. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Bakare khash ghairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Bakare khash ghairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu maljae, nadanam juz tu mawae, nadanam juz tu maljae, nadanam juz tu mawae. Tu hi khud saazu samanam, اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول
پریشانم پریشانم،
یا
اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
شہاب کس نوازی کن، طبیبا جار سازی کن، شہاب کس نوازی کن، طبیبا چارہ سازی کن، مریض درد عصیانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، مریض درد عصیانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
اگر رانی و گر خانی، غلامم من تا سلطانی، اگر رانی و گر خانی، غلامم من تا سلطانی، دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول گناہ در جانم آتش زد، قیامت شعلہ می خیزد، گناہ در جانم آتش زد، قیامت شعلہ می خیزد، مدد اے آب حیوانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، مدد اے آب حیوانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
چمر غم نخل جا سوزد، بہارم را خزا سوزد، چمر غم نخل جا سوزد، بہارم را خزاں سوزد، نریزد برگ ایمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، نریزد برگ ایمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد، چو محشر فتنہ انگیزت بلائے بے اماخی زد، بجویم از تو درمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، بجویم از تو درمانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را شتف زاید، پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وہ شتف زاید، تو گیری زیر دامانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، تو گیری زیر دامانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا پریشانم
پریشانم،
دستگیری کن
یا رسول اللہ،
گدائے آمد سلطان با امید کرم نالا، گدائے آمد سلطان با امید کرم نالا، تہی داما مگر دانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، تہی داما مگر دانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
رضایت سائل بے پر توی سلطان لاتن گھر، رضایت سائل بے پر توی سلطان لاتن گھر، شہاب ہرے عزی خانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ، شہاب ہرے عزی خانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
پریشانم پریشانم، اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم،
یا
اغثنی یا رسول اللہ،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد. sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, a very beautiful kalam. Now, my dear viewers, starting our topic today regarding patience within Islam. If we go to our Islamic books and regarding the definition of sabr, patience, they mention many different definitions. If we take the literal meaning, it means to withhold, to hold yourself back, to restrain from something. That's the literal meaning. When we look at the technical meaning, it is mentioned in Siratul Jinan, to hold the nafs from anything which the aql, the intellect, wisdom, and the sharia requires one to stop. So where logically and even Islamically it is understood that we must hold ourselves, our nafs, back from something, this is the meaning of sabr, of patience. And then it tells us very beautifully that if we think about just this word sabr in Urdu, in Arabic as well, it seems like it's just three letters, saad, bara. But the scholars of Islam tell us that in reality, this three-letter word encompasses an entire universe filled with courage, strength, confidence, forbearance, tolerance, goodness, well-being, well-wishing, gentleness, calmness, and even satisfaction. Truly, the word sabr, it may look as though it's very small in size, but if you actually understand the depth of this word, my dear viewers, this is something which truly cannot even be expressed in words. So this was the introduction to just the word sabr in of itself. If we look within the Holy Quran and we look in prophetic narrations, we will see numerous examples. The scholars of Islam tell us that patience is mentioned in the Quran more than 70 times in different instances of the glorious Quran. So when we look at this concept of patience, Islam tells us that actually there are various rulings for patience, because sometimes it is fard, it is obligatory for us to show sabr. For example, if we take the meaning of patience, of sabr, to mean to hold yourself back, to hold the nafs back from anything which the sharia has prohibited. Now if we look at this, then we can easily understand that sabr being fard would be when those matters which are forbidden for us to go near, to commit, to do sabr and stay away from them, this level of sabr is fard for the believers. To withhold yourself, withhold your nafs from committing haram actions, this level of sabr is fard. If we move on to such matters within Islam which are not sinful, but they are not appropriate within Islam, they may be slightly disliked, for a person to show sabr in those matters is mustahab, it is desirable. Similarly, it would be forbidden for us to show sabr, withholding ourselves back from those actions which actually have been we have been commanded by the Islamic law to go and fulfill those actions, to go towards those actions. So like the obedience of Allah Almighty as well. So here we are not allowed to hold ourselves back, but rather we are to go and carry out those tasks. So here, my dear viewers, when we just think about this word sabr today and we look at our society, sabr is a very delicate word that is used in our time. And normally it is mentioned when we lose a family member, when we are going through a hardship, a calamity. And then people remind us, or we watch videos and we hear and we remember the concept of being patient, having sabr, having sabr. But if we look at those blessed narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the concept of sabr has truly been defined in its true sense, there is a very famous instant in the life of one companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where this companion, she had just lost a loved one, and in the midst of missing out or losing a loved one, she was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be patient. So this narration is both mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. It is reported, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is the narrator. He said, مَرَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِمْرَأَةٍ تَبْكِي عِنْدَ قَبْرٍ. That once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed by a woman who was crying near a grave. فَقَالْ, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to that woman, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَاسْبِرِي, to fear Allah and be patient. Meaning to have God consciousness and be patient. The woman said a very strong remark to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not realizing that it is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam she is speaking to. And this the scholars actually mention in the sharh, in the commentary of this hadith, that this is how overwhelming grief and sadness can be for a person. That a person, like the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were unaware. She was unaware that she was speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how overwhelming and how strong grief and sadness can be as well. So she said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَتِي وَلَمْ تَعْرِفْهُ. Allahu Akbar. She said, a loose translation of this would be, go away from me, you have not been afflicted with a calamity like mine. So she mentioned these words as well. And then the narrator of the hadith, he's mentioned that she did not recognize, وَلَمْ تَعْرِفْهُ, she did not realize that was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that she spoke to in that manner. Later, she was informed that, you know who that was, who you said those words to? It was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Allahu Akbar. So then, she became upset at herself that how did she let this happen? The hadith mentions, فَأَتَتْ بَابَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَلَمْ تَجِدْ عِنْدَهُ بَوَّابِينَ. This is a very beautiful point, that when she came to the blessed door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentions that she did not find any doorkeepers at the door. Like any worldly figure or leader has security guards outside of their home or in their surroundings where they are staying, so to protect them from any oncoming enemies. But look at the humility, look at the simplicity of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he did not have any doorkeepers. To which she, the reason why this is mentioned about her was, she would have thought that because she said such a thing, maybe there will be guards at the door who will prevent her from coming in and seeking an apology to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this was not the case. She didn't find any doorkeeper, any guard at the door. This is the beautiful nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how welcoming he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to people. And thereafter, my dear viewers, the hadith mentions, فَقَالَتْ لَمْ أَعْرِفْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, I didn't recognize you, meaning I didn't realize that it was you who came past me whilst I was at the grave, according to one narration, of my son. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words, which are the most historical words that we will keep with us today as well. My dear viewers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, true patience is at the first strike of the calamity. It is at the first shock, i.e. of the calamity. So as soon as a musibah, a difficulty, a sadma reaches you, then at that moment to show patience, this is the true meaning of patience, and the most reward of patience is given at that time. So my dear viewers, this is that narration mentioned in both Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, where as Muslims today, we understand the true concept of patience. If we look at our life today, many people, unfortunately, when they are tested, the first thing they utter are words which are displeasing to Allah Almighty. If Allah Almighty forbid, if somebody was to object to the divine command or will of Allah Almighty, this would be even more dangerous for a person's faith and iman as well. So my dear viewers, the scholars of Islam mention in the commentary that her failure to recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also due to the intensity of grief. Otherwise, she was from the people of Medina. Even strangers from outside would recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because in one statement of the commentary it says, remember my dear viewers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whichever path he would walk, it would leave behind such a unique fragrance, such a beautiful smell, that people would realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has just passed by this valley, this alleyway. Subhanallah. So this is why, my dear viewers, the people of Medina would know that it is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at how overwhelming, how strong of an emotion grief and sadness can be, that a person does not even recognize and realize that he is in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Almighty protect us from such intense grief and sadness that makes us fall into such a state of confusion as well. Therefore, my dear viewers, the scholars of Islam mention as well, it's very important to mention, the jurists, the fuqaha mention, that this woman, this sahabiya, did not become a disbeliever because of uttering those remarks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she said those in a state of complete grief-induced confusion, where she did not she genuinely and completely did not realize that that was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of this, the scholars state she did not leave the fold of Islam. And furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell her to repeat the kalima as well. When she came and came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his blessed home, he didn't tell her to repeat the kalima, "You've left the fold of Islam." Because these points have not been mentioned, the scholars say that she did not leave the fold of Islam. But rather the scholars, the fuqaha, the Islamic jurists, they derive a ruling from this actual hadith. They say, if a dying person is overwhelmed by the agony of death, by the pains of death, and he utters words of disbelief, he will not be declared as a disbeliever. His funeral prayer will be offered and he will be buried because words of disbelief spoken in a state of unconsciousness are not considered. I.e., in that state where a person is not even in the right mind, these are not considered. And they mention the precedent for this ruling is this very hadith. Furthermore, my dear viewers, the scholars of Islam tell us in the commentary of this narration, she had come to seek forgiveness, thinking that since it's the court of the king of all the Muslims, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the king of both worlds, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there would be many guards at the noble door, and she might not be granted access to apologize. Either she was from another area, or this thought too occurred due to the confusion or grief. So because she was overwhelmed with grief, she just thought that maybe, meaning she expected guards to be there. Otherwise, the women of Medina, they would be able to enter the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enter the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask questions. Furthermore, the scholars of Islam mention under this final part of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى, that at the first strike of the calamity, this is the true meaning of patience. What is the reason for this? Why is this the true element or the true meaning of being patient? It's because at that moment, the heart surges and becomes overwhelmed. Restraining that surge, doing habs, controlling that stronger urge and surge of emotions in the heart, this is the work of the truly courageous people. This is the true meaning of patience. And furthermore, the scholars say, this is sabr-e kamil, this is complete sabr, which brings immense reward as well. And like I mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ did not command the woman to repent for her remarks. This is why she was excused due to her condition. So here, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we learn from this very first hadith, that what actually is the understanding of patience within Islam? Because many of us, unfortunately, if a calamity strikes, after letting out all of our emotions, after doing everything that we possibly could and then becoming tired, that's when we say, but I am being patient, but I am patient now. Whereas this is the wrong understanding of patience that we have understood. The true meaning of patience is at the first strike of the calamity of the musibah, to be patient then, to withhold oneself, to control oneself, to not wail, to not strike oneself, to not scream and streak and shriek the way unfortunately it is seen within society. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, another point I'd like to mention to you in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one lengthy narration, he mentioned the virtues of many things, like saying Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah, and it fills the scales of deeds. In that very narration, which is very famous, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ, patience is radiance. Diya, radiance. And what does actually diya mean? The scholars of Islam mention it is a nur, it is a light that contains within it a type of heat and burning. Sabr is such a light that actually brings about And due to being patient, a light of burning and heat comes from it. This is why in the Holy Quran, the scholars of Islam tell us, Allah Almighty, when explaining the sun, Allah Almighty used the word diya. Allah Almighty said in Surah Yunus, I believe verse 5, He is the one who made the sun a radiance, i.e. diya, and He made the moon nuran, a light. So here the scholars of Islam tell us, in another occasion, Allah Almighty described the law, the Sharia of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam as diya as well, because that was a Sharia, that was a law in which the rulings were very strict, were very hard for people. So to be patient at that time would be very difficult. So this is why, because there was a lot of hardships, a lot of burdens, a lot of restrictions as well contained within it, it was very difficult. This is why Allah Almighty has said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, indeed, we revealed the Torah in which there is hudan wa nur, meaning within it there is a guidance and there is light. And here, this is why the scholars of Islam tell us that when it comes to patience, patience requires a person. It actually makes a person get to that level where he is controlling his emotions. He's not letting them go wild. Rather, he is withholding them, and within this there is a sense of burning that is within a person as well. The scholars of Islam further mention under the discussion of sabr, that sabr has many praiseworthy types. So you can say the types of patience now we are going to discuss. And the scholars say, As-sabrul mahmud anwa'un. That praiseworthy patience has many types amongst them. So now this is going to open our mind, inshallah, to what is patience. Whenever we hear the word patience, we shouldn't just immediately think about being patient over calamity. But these next two points are very important for us, the way we live our life today. So the first point is, a praiseworthy level of patience is when a person is patient in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now yes, this is another level of sabr, that a person, he prays his salah, he performs acts of worship, but he doesn't just do so on one occasion or when he feels like it. He is consistent in his prayers. He has patience. He is restricting and withholding the desire of the nafs to maybe not go through that struggle that is required to perform the acts of obedience of Allah continuously. And this is why the scholars say that another praiseworthy level of patience is that a person is actually steadfast, resolute, he is patient in obeying the commandments of Allah Almighty. And this is a very high level of patience. Another type of praiseworthy patience is that a person is patient in refraining from the acts of disobedience of Allah Almighty. All those things that are guna, ma'asi, that are sin, for a person to hold himself back from committing those sins, this is also a very high level of sabr as well. Now this here, my dear viewers, is something that we can relate to in our life today. That if we look at our society, we look at the way we live our life, we might think that being patient is just limited to being patient when a calamity strikes. But when we are living our life, we are praying our salah 5 times a day, we don't understand that we are being patient in those moments. When we are holding firm unto the obligations of Allah Almighty, when we are treating people well who have mistreated us, this is also a high level of sabr and patience. When we are reciting Quran on a daily basis, when we are learning the knowledge of the deen, and we are getting whispers from the shaitan and our nafs to leave it today. You know, you're tired today, you've done a lot today, just leave it. Now this level of battling with the nafs is also a level of sabr, that we have to realize that when we're going through it, you're not alone. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that Allah Almighty is with those who are patient. So remember, my dear viewers, whenever you're going through any difficult task, like you're finding it difficult to maintain your prayers, you're finding it difficult to hold on to, for example, modesty within today's time. For Islamic women, the parda, even for the Muslim men as well, to veil yourself, to cover yourself in the Islamic attire, and to cover yourself and not allow body parts to be exposed, this is also a high level of sabr that you are actually exhibiting and showing in that moment. But many people, they don't label it as sabr, so they think that nobody's watching me, I am patient, but nobody is observing my affairs. But in reality, This is a very high level of sabr which is being observed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, this is in relation to being obedient to Allah Almighty. If we look at another point in line with this, is for us to be obedient by refraining from the disobedience of Allah. All those people who find it difficult to leave a sin, but then they develop a passion and a yearning within themselves that I'm going to stop this sin now. I'm not going to go back to this sin. Those people who are taking me to the sin, I'm going to separate my ties from them, meaning those friends or those people who are dragging me towards sin, I'm going to leave that bad company. Or if I am utilizing any of my devices in those actions which are leading to the disobedience of Allah, I'm going to separate myself from those things. Why? Because these are acts of disobedience. Now, even though maybe nobody's around you, you're by yourself with your mobile phone at home, you're in your room, but now you are showing patience when you are staying away from all of those sins. This is a very high level act of worship, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel. This is the true concept of sabr in Islam that we need to try to also bring within our mind as well. When you know this, inshallah, write these points down, keep them with you. When you're finding it difficult to maintain the obligations of Allah Almighty, when you're finding it difficult to stay away from all of those things which are the disobediences of Allah Almighty, this is also patience. You are not left alone. Allah Almighty is watching us. Allah Almighty is observing us. And similarly now, when we are going through a test, we have lost a loved one, we're going through such a difficulty that we know other people may not be aware. For example, I would say when somebody loses someone, it is a huge loss. It is a very painful feeling. But my dear viewers, let us go to that, go beyond that. That, you know, when we lose someone, at times in that moment we feel overwhelmed grief. But then after some time we find relief and we do move on. But for those people who go through bodily harm, so they're going through illnesses, they're going through such tribulation, such tests with their body, whether men, women or children, you know, those in hospital especially, those moments where they are overwhelmed with harm and they're feeling burdened that I'm going through this illness, I wish I didn't have this illness, that this person, he doesn't have this skin condition that I have, or this brother or sister doesn't have this pain that I have within my stomach or within my body parts. I wish I didn't have this. People will think this in their heart and mind. I want to mention to you a few narrations, inshallah, that after which will give you a new sense of how to think about these things. That when you're going through this time, first and foremost, you're not alone. Each of these moments, Allah Almighty is observing you. And remember, my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, Allah Almighty has appointed angels of protection to believers. And especially when a person is unwell, Allah Almighty appoints an angel to that person. And that angel, he relays all those statements that the sick person is uttering in the state of illness. And that angel informs Allah Almighty, even though Allah Almighty already knows. But this is, you can say, a form of protocol that, Ya Allah, this person, he is saying, Alhamdulillah, even though you are testing him with a difficulty in his health or in her health, and Allah Almighty is pleased with that person. Allah Almighty says to the angels that, be witness that I will exchange. And if I will, I will exchange that person's blood with new and fresh blood. And will give him a new skin and will grant him shifa. And if Allah Almighty wills, Allah Almighty will forgive all of that person's sins because of this illness. Furthermore, my dear viewers, in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned a very beautiful point. He said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, how wondrous, how strange, how amazing is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. He said, indeed, this matter of the believer, all of their matters contain goodness. And this is only for the believers. Only for those who believe in Allah Almighty, who believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who believe in all the prophets, meaning who are true believers, who are Muslims. This reward is for them. Then what has been mentioned? In asabathu sarra'u shakara fakana khayran lahu. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if the person is blessed with happiness, then he shows gratitude to Allah Almighty. He thanks Allah. he acknowledges Allah Almighty in those moments of happiness, then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ, that this is better for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, and if he's afflicted with hardship or pain, and he shows patience, that too is better for him. Allahu Akbar. Now here, my dear viewers of Madinah, the scholars of Islam tell us, and many scholars have mentioned the commentary to this very narration. They say that look at how Allah Almighty has blessed the believer. Whether you are in a state of happiness, affluency, or whether you are upset, going through a difficult time, my dear viewers, both of our states will be good for us. Now, if only we were to realize, the scholars mention that goodness flows through the actions of the true believers. That even though they're happy, they will not displease Allah Almighty in their state of happiness. Similarly, if they're going through a problem, a hardship, which is truly overwhelming, which at times people will say, nobody can understand what I'm going through. Even those types of difficulties, there is goodness for us in those matters. Now, you might think it's very easy for you to say, but I am saying what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is informing us. And he mentioned in the commentary that the disbelievers and the hypocrites, they do not possess this virtue. Because a believer, when he receives health or afiyat or safety, then he actually expresses gratitude to Allah Almighty. A true believer is not heedless of the fact that he is in those moments of happiness and he is actually blessed by Allah Almighty. He doesn't disobey Allah Almighty, whether within himself, with his body parts, or with his family and those things that he possesses. He makes sure that he fulfills the rights of Allah Almighty by thanking Allah for those blessings, utilizing those limbs in the obedience of Allah. And similarly, once he does this, Allah Almighty records the believer amongst the truly grateful, those who are from amongst the Shakirin, those whom Allah Almighty has declared that he is grateful. And remember this, my dear viewers, being grateful is actually one of those prophetic attributes which Allah Almighty praised his prophets in the Holy Quran, that this prophet is shakiran li an'umihi, he is grateful to Allah Almighty for his favors. Similarly, if a distressing matter, now this could be anything, my dear viewers, now I know many of us are going through difficult times, you know, sometimes even the person relaying this message is going through difficult times, but we say these points to remind us, how should we be as Muslims? That even if we are being overwhelmed with a difficult period within our time, within our life, Allah Almighty has told us that the believers show patience. What does it mean by being patient? They don't overwhelm themselves. They don't become to such an extent where they begin to complain. They don't do actions that displease Allah Almighty. They don't start mentioning and objecting to the divine decree of Allah Almighty. A true believer is one who controls himself in those moments, who understands that Allah Almighty is watching me. Allah Almighty is observing me now. I am not alone. This test I'm going through, Allah Almighty is with me every step of the way, with His knowledge and with His authority and power. So my dear viewers, it is mentioned, a person, a believer remains patient to such an extent that Allah Almighty records that individual from amongst the patient ones. And those are those whom Allah Almighty has mentioned in the Quran. Over 70 different locations in the Quran, Allah Almighty has mentioned the people who are patient, has mentioned their virtues, has mentioned that He is pleased with them, He is with them. Because these people are going through this difficulty, knowing that this life is a life full of difficulty. As Muslims, we all know that this test, this life that we are going through, it's not going to be completely smooth sailing. That every moment is going to be happiness. We know because the Quran tells us, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah Almighty is the one who created death and life in order that you may be tested as to which of you has the best deeds. Meaning this life has been created in order to test us. Are we true believers? That when difficulties come, do we also turn to Allah Almighty? Or do we turn away as soon as the first strike of hardship comes to us? This tests our level of Iman, my dear viewers of Madinah channel. Similarly, Allah Pak has mentioned the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Now here my dear viewers of Madinah Channel, Allah Almighty is telling us that we will most definitely test you with some fear, some hunger, some loss of lives, loss of wealth, reduction in wealth, and similarly reduction in fruits. Meaning we'll be tested in certain avenues of our life, in different aspects. And then Allah Almighty said, give the glad tidings to the patient. Meaning Allah Almighty, it didn't just command us that, didn't just tell us that we will be tested and okay, that's it. Rather, Allah Almighty is giving us hope as well, that give good news, that those who are patient, those who patiently endure, those who say when a calamity befalls them, Allah Almighty, indeed we are from Allah and to Allah Almighty we shall return. Those people who utter these words, what about them? They are within the mercy of Allah Almighty. Allah's mercy and rahmat showering upon them. My dear viewers of Madhya Channel, this is Allah Almighty giving us the true understanding of being patient within the Holy Quran. Similarly, if we look at the verse before this, Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. O believers, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah Almighty is with those who patiently endure. Meaning, if you look at the Holy Quran, Allah Almighty does not say that you're going to go through tests and that's it, meaning you are on your own. Allah Almighty says, Allah Almighty is with you. Allah Almighty's help is with you. Allah Almighty's support is with you when you are going through those difficult moments in your life. This is why it's so beautiful as Muslims that when we look at our state, when we reflect over our condition, every difficulty that comes upon us, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, every hardship that we face is one that we will be rewarded for. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned a very beautiful narration in which he said, no worry, no sorrow, no anxiety, no hardship, no pain and no grief afflicts a Muslim even to the extent of a thorn that pricks him, except that Allah Almighty due to these wipes out his sins, expiates his sins. My dear viewers, now think about this, truly reflect that if we just faced some test in this world throughout our life, we know that every difficulty we're going to face is limited. It is time bound. For a certain period of time, we'll be going through this difficulty. And then after this, the difficulty will be lifted. Let's say a person goes through some difficulty in this world, and let's say he doesn't get relief, which is quite impossible. There is some relief that is given. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, with hardship, there is ease. And then Allah Almighty repeats this to remind us that with that same hardship, there will be double ease. There will be more ease. Meaning, Allah Almighty tells us that our difficulties are for a certain period of time. And as long as we hold on to Allah Almighty's rope, which is the teachings of Allah Almighty, we don't complain. We don't turn away from the court of Allah Almighty. Because this is one big problem that we find when we discuss patience. Many people, they turn away from the court of Allah Almighty. Whereas this is not what we should do. The whole point of this test was so that we draw near to Allah Almighty. And the scholars also mentioned that sometimes a person, because he's living a life where he is actually neglectful of obeying Allah Almighty's commands, and Allah Almighty intends goodness for a person, Allah Almighty inflicts him with difficulty, with a hardship, with a test, with a trial. Why? So that when they go through that difficulty, they ultimately turn back to Allah Almighty. And Allah Almighty reminds them that this is the true purpose of our life. Now if we just take this one point, that if somebody loses a loved one, for example a mother or a father, when that calamity strikes, for those people who are neglectful of the rights of Allah, they would realize that now I need to obey Allah Almighty. Life is short, that we are here today, we'll be gone tomorrow. What have I prepared as a Muslim for my own akhirah? My father and mother have gone, they did good deeds. They reminded us about praying salah, they recited the Quran, they would attend gatherings where they would learn about Islam. Our parents, they did what they did for themselves. They guided us as well. But now they have gone, life is so short. I need to worry about my own life. I need to make sure that I'm obeying Allah Almighty. So this difficulty, this hardship that has befell the believer is now a hidden blessing in disguise. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْهُ. Whomsoever Allah intends goodness for, Allah afflicts him with a test, with a musibat. And why is this? How can Allah Almighty intend goodness for you? through a calamity. This is the interpretation that is given, my dear viewers, in one of the books of the, in the commentary it mentions, a person may be living a life away from the obedience of Allah. So with that calamity, he draws near to Allah, and that is better for him, because this world is temporary. The luxuries are temporary. And the distractions that this world has, it's all temporary. When we stand before Allah Almighty, to be held account for our deeds, that is when we're going to be in regret. And remember, my dear viewers, the pain of regret is more detrimental than the pain that we feel going through a difficulty or a hardship. Because that hardship will go. When we leave this world, everything will end. Many people who were unwell, who were going battling many different illnesses, once they passed away, they attained relief. They returned to Allah Almighty. And this is another point I would like to give to the viewers of Madani Channel today, that when our loved one has passed away, don't necessarily just say they've passed away. Believe this, that they have returned to Allah Almighty and they have gone to the court of Allah Almighty as believers. They have succeeded. They have attained true salvation. We don't know what's going to happen about us. Now the difficulty that they face, Allah Pak will reward them. Will reward them with so much. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allah Almighty said that indeed the patient ones will be rewarded in full without measure on the day of judgment. Meaning, what is the reward for those who are patient? And now think about all those people who have gone through difficulty in their life. Their reward and their difficulty, their hardship is not forgotten. This is another concept within Islam, that the difficulty that we bear, it is not forgotten. Rather, all that reward of patience is kept. And think about this. If we are patient, Allah Almighty forgives all of our sins. Our temporary hardship for eternal pleasure of Allah Almighty, this is a free bargain. But this is only for those people who will only realize the true meaning of sabr. And when they're going through a hardship, they will actually be patient as well. They will look to cure themselves. It's not that you afflict with their illness so you don't cure yourself. You can go through those avenues to attain cure, because Allah Almighty has granted shifa and has placed the shifa in certain medicines as well. But it doesn't mean that we rely on them completely and we just forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, I hope today's this concept of sabr has opened up a bit more for us. And inshallah, these programs will be on repeat and you'll be able to watch them afterwards as well. You can slow it down, inshallah, azawajal. Think about each of the points that I've highlighted today throughout this first discussion under sabr. And there's more to come as well, inshallah, azawajal. But I would like our Honorable Madani Channel team, if they could present our packages that we have ready, inshallah, azawajal. Thereafter, we will come back with some more points that I have prepared on the topic of sabr as well. Because this is a very difficult topic. Like I mentioned at the start, it's a very sensitive topic as well. It's not something that we can just easily speak about and be very straightforward, because everybody, no matter where they are in life, are going through different difficulties. You can't assume that it's the same for all. Certain people are going through certain tests, but other people are going through much difficult tests. So the concept of patience should be portrayed in a smart and cautious manner. So inshallah, may Allah grant us the tawfiq to remember these points, act upon them, and inshallah, now we will take a few packages, inshallah, and then we'll return. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أنا عند ذني عبدي بي وأنا معه إذا ذكرني, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am as my servant thinks of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. Allahu Akbar. If you expect mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah you will find mercy. If you expect forgiveness, inshallah azza wa jal, you shall be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats you the way you think of him. So, of course, think beautifully. Even when you've sinned, never lose hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave that person who killed 99 others and then 100. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you if you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hope is not wishful thinking like some have made it out to be. Allah ta'ala forgives. No, is believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion outweighs my minor mistakes. I am remorseful for my mistakes. And then I have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must keep your heart anchored in hope. Because despair is not something which is from the believers, it's something which is from the shaitan. Keep your heart anchored in hope. The one who has hope in He who is almighty, all-powerful, how can he be turned away empty-handed? Turn to Allah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Positive thinking leads to positive outcomes, and negative thinking leads to negative outcomes and consequences. As Muslims, we should try our utmost to think positive generally, and also think positive about others as well, our fellow believers. We shouldn't have a negative mindset regarding others. We shouldn't jump to conclusions. We shouldn't be suspicious about people. Because remember, a pious believer is he whose heart is pure from thinking evil, thinking bad about others. And as for the person who always thinks negatively about others, he's quick to judge others and even spread misinformation regarding others. Do you know where this comes from? This comes from a diseased heart. And this is not something that I am saying. The ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, have said this throughout the ages. In Faidul Qadir, it states that qala al-ulama'ul a'lam rahimahumullah ta'ala, that the eminent scholars of Islam, rahimahumullah ta'ala, have said that innama yansha'u dhannu al-khabithu min al-qalb al-khabith, that an evil thought, evil thinking, comes from a polluted heart, a corrupted heart, a khabith heart, a filthy heart. So we need to think, are we amongst those who think positively about others? Or are we amongst those who think negatively all the time, that we cannot think positively of others? We need to find out what are those reasons why we can't think positive about others. We need to rectify ourselves. We need to purify our hearts. I mean, to save ourselves from this wa'id, that evil thinking, negative thinking, comes from a khabith, impure and filthy heart. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all sound hearts which reflect only the truth. And may He give us the ability to think positively, to think good about our fellow believers, inshallah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, we are back with our program, mashallah. Today's topic was patience, and we've been discussing, I went quite into detail rather in the first segment. I hope you were able to note down a few points. In summary, subhanAllah, there's so many different points I mentioned, but when it comes to patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us within the Holy Quran. As I highlighted, we are tested in this life. But similarly, one thing I'd like to add is when we know a person is going through hardship, when we know a person is going through difficulty, as family members, we should be accommodating for that person. This is also the message of Islam as well. To not increase a person's worry, a person's difficulty by being more burdensome. And similarly, today unfortunately we don't find that within our Muslim community. Those people who were to truly reflect the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now unfortunately, when it comes to helping people in their time of difficulty, especially our own family members, we don't see that present within our lives. So my dear viewers, this is another message that I would like you to try to take from today's program. If you know a person's going through a hardship, it could be with their health, it could be your parents, it could be your family, it could be your siblings, anyone. Always be a means of benefit and support for them. And similarly, this is a very beautiful point as well, that those who are going through hardship, try your best, okay, alongside this test that you're going through, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because one great point that the Mufti of Islam, Mufti Muhammad Qasim Atari, Madda Zillahul Ali, he mentioned in under one article the different ways to develop patience within our times of hardship. And he He mentioned some beautiful points. One of the first points, he said that how can we develop patience within our moments that we're overwhelmed with difficulty? He said, first of all, turning back to Allah Almighty. That if we were living a life of transgression, we were displeasing Allah Almighty, then to turn back to Allah Almighty in repentance. Especially when the calamity strikes. Because this is also the understanding of the Quran, where the believers, the patient ones, they say, indeed we belong to Allah, and indeed to Him we shall return. So we should return before we return to Allah Almighty. We should turn back to Allah before we return to Allah Almighty. That when you turn back to Allah, what does that mean? It means to leave that life of sin and transgression that you were once upon. To repent from those, to make a sincere repentance. To create those points within your life that when you're living this life, also leave behind those bad habits. And try your best to filter whatever you're watching and looking at. Because sometimes they take us back towards the sins that we were once in. Then he mentions that when you turn back to Allah Almighty, you'll feel a support with you. You'll feel a strength within your heart. And this is something that we can truly find when we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty will make our hardship feel lighter upon us. Now this is something that we can only experience. I can mention this, but you will experience this yourself when you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, my dear viewers, one point is that the scholars say that when you reflect upon the reward of patience, because we as Muslims know, and many people, those who have gone through many cycles of hardship, they realize that this world is all temporary. And it is not worth stressing and overthinking regarding those matters of this world where we are causing ourselves harm. Similarly, he mentions that when we reflect upon the reward for the patient people, as Muslims, our iman should be strong, that we believe with absolute certainty in regards to the afterlife. Because without this, we cannot be believers. Now we believe that there will be an afterlife. And we know that this life is temporary. The reward and all this difficulty, it's like we are harvesting, we are collecting our provisions for the reward of the afterlife. Now if you know this, when we're reading the verse of the Quran, then inshallah, this will bring you strength as well. That I'm going through this difficulty, and this difficulty is going to go. If I am patient today, if I remain patient, I don't complain. I don't ask Allah Almighty necessarily to remove my hardship, but to grant me ease within it. Now this is also the state of the pious people, the righteous people. They would say that all praise to Allah, that Allah Almighty has afflicted us with this tribulation. They would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the level of the righteous people. Furthermore, my dear viewers of Madhubin Channel, if we just read and reflect over the lives of the pious people of Allah, like the prophets, the Anbiya of Allah, those blessed personalities who were tested the most in this world. And this is also mentioned in the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in regards to the status, who are those people who have been tested the most in the divine court of Allah Almighty? It is the prophets. Rasulullah was asked this, and he mentioned first and foremost the prophets, then those who are closest to them, and then those who are closest to them. And this is why, my dear viewers of Madhubin Channel, when we live this life, we should truly reflect. Like this narration, alhamdulillah, has come before me. Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu anhu, he narrates, it was once asked to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which people are tested with the most severe trials? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, first and foremost the prophets, then those who are closest to them, then those who are closest to them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a very powerful point. This is something that we should truly now reflect over our life today and see, do we fall under this category? And how much do we fall under this category? And this is a good thing as well. A person is tested in accordance with the strength of his iman, with the strength of his religion. The more tests, the more strong his or her iman is. And this is why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, if the believer is firm and strong in his religion, then his trials and tests will be more severe. And if he is weak in his religion, i.e. his iman, then he is tested in a lighter manner. And he says this continues to happen with that believer until he walks upon the earth in such a state where there is no sin, no guna that remains upon him. Subhanallah. Here, my dear viewers of Madhubin Channel, we learn that, you know, the Anbiya, the Prophets of Allah, they went through the most hardships. If we look at each of the Prophets of Allah Almighty and the test that they went through, you'll begin to realize that the Prophets of Allah, like Prophet Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, think about the tests that he went through. You know, today when we look at, when we actually reflect over our state and we ponder over the life of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, now no doubt he was a Prophet of Allah. But look at the famous incident where Shaytan, he remarked in the court of Allah Almighty that, oh Allah, your Prophet Ayyub, he only thanks you, he's only grateful to you, he only worships you in abundance because you've given him so much, you've given him so much wealth, so much children, you've granted him affluency, so much livestock. This is why he, Ya Allah, this is why he worships you and thanks you. Allah Almighty replied to the devil, to the shaitan, saying, this is not the reason. Rather, he is obedient. He is a true servant of Allah Almighty. And this is when Allah Almighty tested Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And why? My dear viewers, this is a point that we don't realize at times. Why was Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam tested? Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was tested. The scholars mention in the commentary of those narrations, one point is mentioned. Allah Almighty intended to elevate the maqam, the status of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was a ibtila, this was a test from Allah Almighty, not a musibat. This is something we have to realize. Musibat is something else, and a ibtila, a test from Allah, is something else. If we look at the life of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, he was tested. His children passed away, all his livestock was taken away from him, you can say. And it was only him and his wife left. Similarly, this was a test from Allah Almighty. And then Allah Almighty rewarded him because he increased in his gratitude. He increased in his patience. And even though when he was living his life, the few years that he was tested, look at what Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam said to his wife, who was saying that you have been tested for these number of years. Now, why don't you ask Allah to grant you shifa? Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam asked his wife a very beautiful point. And he said, how many years have I been living in ease and comfort? And this one question really shook and shakes the reader to the core. Look at the mindset and look at the way the pious people of Allah actually think. That truly this is the reality. We are tested for a certain amount of time in this world. Maybe a couple of years, a few years, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. But my dear viewers, we are tested only slightly and we are given much more relaxation. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam said to his wife that I have been tested only for these few number of years. This is a haq, a right of Allah that I must fulfill. Allah has given me so many years of affluency and of ease and comfort. Why should I not be grateful to Allah Almighty just for these few years or just in this time of hardship? So these were moments in the life of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, which also showed and shows to every reader of this story of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam that this is the mindset of the pious people of Allah Almighty. And similarly, my dear viewers, talking about musibah and ibtila, a test from Allah. Now remember, one of the greatest tests of Allah that came upon a person was Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the plains of Karbala. This was a test from Allah, an ibtila, a test from Allah Almighty, not a musibat. Because he was from amongst the God conscious. Similarly, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great man of Allah who was tested in his time as well. Many difficulties, imprisoned, went through so much hardship. But these were tests from Allah Almighty in elevating the maqam and the status of these great personalities. And this is why we say that the martyrdom of Imam Hussein is truly the death of Yazid. And the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is revived after every time we reflect over the incident of Karbala. Why? Because this was a test. Allah Almighty intended to test His pious people to also show to believers that hard times will come. Now when we as Muslims reflect over the lives of these great personalities, the Prophets of Allah, I just mentioned Prophet Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise, to be honest and to be truthful, every Prophet of Allah went through immense tests. Immense tests. And for the greatest reward, for the greatest outcome, it will be given for the most difficult and most severe trials. This is why, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, if we begin to reflect over the tests and the lives of the pious people, those who are truly patient, we will also gain a sahara, a support from these great personalities. So my dear viewers, please do not be disheartened when any hardship strikes you. I am saying this from my own position, but you can reflect over your state that you are not left alone. All of these pious people went through hardship, went through difficulty. One of the main reasons is that Allah Almighty wants to test the believers, because this is the purpose of our life. That if a hardship comes, does he go back to his sinful ways or does he turn to Allah Almighty? And similarly, Allah Almighty has said in the Holy Quran, وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah Almighty has mentioned in the Holy Quran that we will test you with good and with evil as a trial, as a test for you. So what does that mean? If we are in moments of affluency, happiness, comfort, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is also a test from Allah Almighty. Now think about this. Now let us come take a step away from patience today. And let's talk about the times and those moments in our life, many years, if I can say decades, where we have been living without any hardship, without any takleef, without any difficulty. We've been living in comfort with our family, maybe our childhood, or maybe those who had a difficult childhood, but now they've attained affluency and now they're living in comfort. If we look at those times, how much do we remember Allah in those times? Where Allah Almighty has given us so much, but we still don't obey the commands of Allah Almighty. So this is something to reflect over as well. Test, the test of Allah is not just when we are facing hardships, but also when you are in your moments of happiness. Now if I was to ask, you know, the Muslim Ummah, in the state of affluency, when you are, for example, celebrating a happy occasion within your life with your family, or starting a new life with your new family, what actions do we actually show within our life? And do those actions fit within the bounds of Allah Almighty's commandments? Or are those acts of disobedience? So similarly, my dear viewers, life is like this. It is a roller coaster. You will have times of happiness and times of hardship. But the believer is one who thanks Allah Almighty in times of happiness and ease, and he is patient in those times of difficulty and hardship, because they are a test from Allah Almighty. I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the ability to truly understand the message that Islam portrays through patience. I mentioned the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba kiram alayhim ridwan also went through immense hardships in order to protect their iman. Today, we may do things to protect our life, to protect our livelihood, our jobs. But at times, we may even disregard our religion or our religious obligation. For example, one basic, simple point. Remember, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is an Islamic ruling as well. That if we are doing a job, and that job compels us to not pray our salah within the time period of that salah, then to do that work, according to Islamic law, is impermissible. Meaning your work occupies so much of your time where you can no longer pray your salah within the time period. This type of work is impermissible for a believer. The income is also going to be impermissible, because those prayers, especially that prayer that has been offered within that has not been offered, has been missed because of that job. My dear viewers, this is something that today, alhamdulillah, many brothers I am aware of, I've had contact with them, spoken to face to face. They are people who will speak to those who are their superiors in the workplace, and they will be understanding as well. And that I will take 10-15 minutes for a break, and or within my break time, I will go and pray. People accommodate when the first thing and the main thing on their mind is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this first as well, my dear viewers, that the obedience of Allah comes before everything else in this world. No matter it's your income, no matter it's your job or family, whatever it may be, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important thing. Whether we talk about prayer or we talk generally, fulfilling the commandments of Allah Almighty, this is the most important thing for a believer. We cannot compromise this. The day we compromise, the time we compromise Allah's obedience, and we begin to fall into the disobedience of Allah, will be the start of our downfall. Will be the beginning of our be-barakati. We will be filled with so much lack of blessings within our life, because we prioritize the dunya over the deen. We prioritize worldly people, the people, over the creator. This is why my dear viewers of Madani Channel, when it comes to the concept of putting Allah Almighty's commandments first, this is something very important. And one of those commandments is being patient. And now you might be thinking, I know this is a very difficult topic to speak on, but it's very easy to say this, right? And to portray this message. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the hardship that I have gone through throughout my life. And I will say this, the message that has been given today has been portrayed via the verses of the Quran and the statements of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The person sallallahu alaihi wasallam who knows about our state, who observes our affairs. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is hadir and nadir. He observes our affairs. Our deeds are presented before him. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is aware of the emotions of his believers, of those who follow him, his ummatis. My dear viewers of Madani channel, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows. This is why he has commanded us to be patient. This is why when I first mentioned the very first hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he mention to the sahabiya, to the female companion? Fear Allah, meaning acknowledge Allah Almighty is right in this moment, and also be patient. Didn't Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam know that she had just lost her son? That we are going through this difficulty within our life? We are going through this hardship? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does know. He has absolute knowledge given to him by Allah Almighty, meaning Allah Almighty granted him this knowledge. He absolutely knows. So my dear viewers, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has knowledge of ma kana wa ma yakun, what has passed and what will come, the affairs of his ummah, he knows what will transpire within them. When he has given guidance, this guidance is also timeless as well. The message of the Quran is not just for the time period of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is for all time periods, no matter what occurs or what befalls the Muslim ummah, the teachings will still be applicable, my dear viewers of Madinah channel. Similarly, the verses of the Quran that encourage us to be patient, to hold on to patience. This is also Allah Almighty's knowledge. There is no comparison to Allah Almighty's knowledge with what we know about our own state today. Allah Almighty's knowledge is complete. Allah Almighty knows what we are going to do before we even do it. Allah Almighty knows the exact illness we're going through, the exact hardship, the exact loss we have faced. Similarly, Allah Almighty knows where the cure is of that illness. Allah Almighty exactly knows where Allah Almighty will place the shifa for that person. So my dear viewers of Madinah channel, this is why we are reminded to go back to that ultimate creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has everything within his dasti qudrat, within his divine control and authority. So this is why my dear viewers, as believers, we must turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not lose hope. Because Allah Almighty has not sent down any illness except that He has sent down its cure as well. And this is a belief that the Muslims have, that we must have certainty within as well. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, within the final moments of our program, inshaAllah azza wa jalla, there are a few beautiful points I wanted to highlight. I came across this narration on one of Dawat Islami's mashallah website and articles as well, where they highlight various different points in relation to being patient and the virtue of being patient. This one is really inspiring. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once said, this is mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. This narration is as follows. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when in the knowledge of Allah Almighty, a certain rank of ihsan, of perfection, has been decreed for a servant of Allah Almighty, and he does not reach that rank through his own actions. So, a person has a certain maqam, a certain high lofty status in the knowledge of Allah Almighty, but his deeds are not getting him to that station. What will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts his body or his wealth or his children with tribulations, with tests. Then Allah Almighty also grants him the ability to be patient over them. My dear viewers, this is the most important point. For those people who are patient, do you know how you are patient? Because Allah Almighty has facilitated for you the ability to be patient. Allah has made you and granted you the ability to accept the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be patient, the guidance of the Quran, and Allah Almighty has allowed you to accept this message, and you are strong in your heart and your mind. Allah grants the ability to be patient over those difficulties until Allah Almighty causes him, that person, to reach that rank which had already been decreed for him in the divine knowledge of Allah. Subhanallah. My dear viewers, this is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Like I mentioned before, this temporary life for eternal rida and divine pleasure of Allah Almighty, to attain Allah Almighty's divine pleasure, we must be patient, we must control ourselves in those times of hardship and difficulty, which is not easy. Why do you think the reward of the patient is without measure? It is unlimited reward, because it's a difficult time. It's not something that can be easily exhibited by people. But when they reflect over the messages given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they will, inshallah, by Allah Almighty's tawfiq, they will be patient in those difficult times. And then Allah Almighty will grant you that maqam, that high station, which Allah Almighty has decreed for the believers. If for a few moments in this life, we spend our time going through difficulty, like I mentioned, it is temporary. If we go through this difficulty with patience, having trust in Allah Almighty, and praying to Allah Almighty to grant you afiyat, to grant you ease in this difficulty, well-being, reciting dhikr and adhkar, remembering Allah Almighty. As long as we remain patient, my dear viewers, what will happen to us? We will enter paradise, inshallah, without accountability. Allah Almighty will not hold us to account on the Day of Judgment. Now, if we look at our life, we might think we are sinful. Like we genuinely will, we believe about ourselves that we are sinful. We have committed so many sins. But my dear viewers, if we are patient over the calamity that befalls us, we will, in the hope of Allah's mercy, we have hope in Allah's mercy, that we, our book of deeds will not even be open. This is the level, this is what the true understanding of sabr is. The sabr has so much goodness hidden within inside of it. Like I mentioned at the beginning as well, the sabr is a three-letter word, but it's like an entire universe filled with so much goodness and khair kept ready for the believers. And this is why my dear viewers of Madani channel, in today's program, we have been discussing the true concept of sabr within Islam. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, when we begin to now take these points forward, no matter what the difficulty may be, no matter what the hardship may afflict us, if we remember these points of being patient in those times of hardship. And what does it mean by patient? To not disobey Allah, to not complain. This doesn't mean, and remember, complaining doesn't mean that you mention your problem to someone who can solve it. For example, if somebody has an illness and they mention the symptoms of the illness to their doctor, this is not complaining, because they are mentioning their illness and their problem to somebody who will diagnose a cure for them. Similarly, my dear viewers, so this will not be categorized as being impatient. But if you are speaking, if you are telling a person, like today we hear people say, I have a headache, I have an upset stomach, or I've lost this, or I've got this problem in my life. My dear viewers, genuinely, 95% of the people who we tell our problem to cannot help us. And sometimes they don't even give us a sad response as well. They just like nod their head, and then they're just thinking, how can I get out of this conversation? Meaning people today don't really want to even hear our problems. So then why should we complain to other people? Let us go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah Almighty is the one who grants cure to our illnesses. Allah Almighty is the one who relieves our problems. This is why, my dear viewers, you know, when we look at, if we look at the passing of a person, and I'm going to bring this whole discussion to a close, inshallah, because the time of the program is coming to an end. If we look at the passing of a person within Islam, when a person passes away, Islam says that we have 3 days, right? We have 3 days of mourning. And that is, those are, you can say, the close family members as well, except the widow or the wife whose husband passed away, which the Sharia, the Islamic law has given her 4 months and 10 days. But besides the widow, every other person who loses a family member, whether the grandfather, grandmother, mother or father, children, why is it that 3 days have been stipulated and then after this, we cannot mourn our deceased? It is again because Allah Almighty truly knows the psychological state of the human being. That if somebody so dear to a person is to pass away, it's very hard for a person to even get up from their sofa, from their room, right? They're overwhelmed with emotion. So Islam has made it, has obligated a command upon them that after 3 days, nobody is allowed to mourn. The strictness of this ruling is to help the believer to get them out of that state, because this will not allow a person to move on with their life. And what does Islam tell us? How beautifully Islam tells us that you pray for your deceased. Allah Almighty says, وَقُرْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. This dua has been given to us by Allah Almighty within the Holy Quran, by the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that O Allah Almighty, meaning O my Rabb, have mercy upon both of them, i.e. my parents, the way they nurtured me in childhood. Now this dua is during their lifetime and after their passing. Similarly, we also have another Quranic verse. Allah Almighty says, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh, our Lord, forgive us and forgive those of faith who came before us. Similarly, this includes all believers, my dear viewers. So praying for our Muslim deceased who have passed away is understood from the Quran and Hadith. You can pray for your Muslim deceased. Similarly, within the namaz where we pray 5 times a day, within the final sitting and we recite a dua, what do we say? We recite that dua which was recited by Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Rabbana ghfir li, oh Allah forgive me, wa li walidayya and my parents, wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab, and all of the believers to come until the day of judgment. Meaning Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for all of the Muslims, those who will come until the day of judgment. So this is also the teaching within Islam, that you have faced a difficulty, you have faced a loss, but we are to progress within our life. We can still bring them benefit, because now the crying and the remaining sad is something that will not benefit the deceased. But what will benefit is when the children are God-fearing, when the children are pious, when they are reciting daily, they're doing good deeds, those actions that even their parents encourage them to do during their lifetime. If the children carry on those actions, because also as well it was the guidance of the parents will also attain the thawab and the reward, because they were the ones who gave the guidance to their children. So my dear viewers and mother inshallah, Islam is such a beautiful deen which guides us in this matter. And unfortunately, our time of our program has gone over. But I pray Allah Almighty grants us the ability to understand the concept of patience within Islam, allow us to show patience when required, and also Allah Almighty make us grateful for the numerous, innumerable blessings that we have within our life. My dear viewers, inshallah, our next program next week, if Allah grants us life and afiyah. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Please try your best to watch this program again. Try your best to make notes. Keep them with you. Don't just listen and then allow it to disperse, because you'll forget a lot of things. These points that have been mentioned from Quran and Hadith are there to help us throughout our life. Islam is a way of life and it helps us to carry on with our life. Not just when difficulty strikes, but throughout our life. Times of happiness, times of sadness and hardship. May Allah Almighty bless each and every one of you. Remove your difficulties and worries. Grant you afiyat and well-being. Accept all your lawful du'as. And may Allah Almighty grant us the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with our loved ones, with our believing loved ones in the akhirah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. It breaks the dark, it clears the way, guiding souls both night and day. Light of knowledge, light of knowledge.